Okay, turn to 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. Going to get some scriptures. Devin's going to read 1 Samuel 17, 32 through 37. Justin, 1 Samuel 17, 36 through 37. Sam is going to read Luke 9, 1 and 2. And Anthony, Luke 10, 17. In the story of King David, you have two main sections to his life that the Bible records. It doesn't really record much before he was anointed king, but you have from the anointing of being king at age 17 up until he becomes king, and that is age, 40, I think, or something like that. And then you have after that being the king. So if you think about it, David's life is instructional because all of the stories leading up to him actually being king then are the period of his discipleship training or training for his ultimate purpose. So it's if you look at the stories with that eye, then a lot of the stories of David's life will apply to you. So the one we're going to read, of course, is the story of David and Goliath. This is one of the most foundational events of his entire life that actually propelled him ultimately into ministry. And I want you to, we're just going to read one small section out of all of chapter 17, which is very long. And in that we see that David is a man who got a breakthrough with a problem. And being able to get a breakthrough in a problem is actually a skill that you have to have if you're going to be a man of God. So let's read 1 Samuel 17, 32 through 37.
Then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight against him." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it, and delivered the lamb from its mouth, and when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defiled the armies of the living God." Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you."
Okay, so this lesson is entitled Breakthrough Men. Let's talk, first of all, about facing giants. And the truth about ministry or doing anything for God is the reality of frustration. So we only just read a section. We know what's going on in the story if you read the entire chapter, and that is that God's people, Saul, who was the king, and all of the people, they came up against a problem that they said, we just can't do it. And so they're not fighting. If we had read verse 24, all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, meaning the giant, they fled from him. They were sore afraid. And so you have the lead up to the story because this is very important. Where David is going to get a breakthrough is that you have frustration. Here's the reality of life and any kind of ministry on any level, whether that's follow-up, having a Bible study, ultimately to pastoring, is the idea that you're going to face situations that you don't have the power to change. You don't have the power to be able to see what happened, should happen. And that can be, locking people in. We can get people saved. We can't can't lock them in as a common pastoral lament. You can't make people change. And believe me, I've tried. You can't make people give if they don't want to give. You can't make people surrender to the will of God or the call of God. And then you're going to discover in pastoring that, people have problems sometimes the size of Mount Everest. Yesterday I was talking to a pastor and he said, he was joking of course, but he said, "Do you ever counsel a couple to get divorced?" And the answer of course is no, but he was joking. And he just was talking, he'd been beating his head against the wall trying to counsel a couple's marriage, and who absolutely night and day their problems seem insurmountable. And I said, "Well, people are about as happy as they want to be." So, and he said, "Yeah, the problem in this marriage is there's two alpha males." So, this is all a joke, of course, and highly confidential. So, but the point is that is the frustrations of ministry. It's like, how do you get people to change? Then, of course, you're going to have circumstances. You're going to have problems with buildings, different needs in finances, equipment. There are crises. I had an unbelievable 2 weeks. I have a good run, and the last 2 weeks I was juggling. We call it juggling chainsaws. I was juggling crises, and from morning until night, it was just super intense. That's just the way it is. There's opposition. There's city officials. There's all kinds of problems. So the point is, you will face things that you don't have the answer or the power for. Jesus, in discipling his men, he made them face their lack of power. This is not a bad thing, and this is not unique to you. Because the devil, of course, when you face a problem that you can't change, he says, "What kind of low class, no good, lousy disciple are you that you can't change this?" It's common to all time. So, if you think about Jesus and how he trained his men, he deliberately put his disciples in impossible situations. 5,000 men, plus women and children, he said, "You feed them." Well, it's not possible. And that's right, it's not possible. Jesus, we're getting in a ship. They got Jesus in the boat, and a storm comes up, and they're going to go under. Well, Jesus knew, isn't it kind of we got the pilots in the church, and there have been times when I was supposed to go to Ogden, Utah, and they said, "Big blizzard, we're not going into that. We can't fly in that." So Jesus, who knows everything, don't you think he knew about the storm coming? Right? Jesus had the perfect National Weather Service. He had Divine Weather Service, DWS. And he said, "We're still going." Because that was deliberate. Then another time, you go by yourself, again, knowing that a storm was coming. So my point is, when you are called by God, you are going to experience great frustration. You're going to work with people. You're going to be trying to do something for God. And God allows you to experience great frustrations. That is to show yourself to you. There's something that is revealed of you. You need to know that. And he's also showing you the nature of ministry. So this is all the lead up in our story. It has to do with facing giants. God wants you to face some giants in life. Second thought here is simply this: it's facing God. So the foundation then of all ministry, as I said, you facing something you don't have the power for, that's not unique to you. So then what's the point? The point is, the foundation of all ministry must be supernatural power. That's what ministry is all about. So you have to understand that we serve a God who can do anything, and he gets involved with people who can do nothing. God knows that when he calls you, that you can't do it. but he hopes that you come to the conclusion that he can do it. So, 1 Samuel 17:36-37.
Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go out, and the Lord be with you."
Okay, so let's break this down in these two verses. David saw the giant. It wasn't that he was unaware that there are giants, but he understood three things. Number one is you have to know who God is. And what he says is there is a living God. A living God. This is not just merely theology 101, God is alive versus dead. The key is there a God who will come down to your problem? That's what he's saying by a living God. I started last week a series on cessationism and people who believe that the supernatural power, gifts of the Spirit are ended. The extreme cessation, they all actually wind up here, but there are ones that their stated aim from the beginning is absolutely not, God does not get involved in your life in supernatural power. If you have a problem, because what they believe is the Scripture is sufficient unto all things. So the answer for everything is read and study your Bible. That's it. And to pray and believe that God would somehow come down, well, what good does he do? That's the point. Is if you'd ask them, is God alive? Yeah. But if you ask him, how would you know? We read the Scriptures. Yeah, but what has he done? So David, he got very practical. He says, here's the problem, but we serve a living God. And living God means he will come down. Number two, is David understood? You got to know who you are in God. And this is the whole thing, circumcised versus uncircumcised. David was not speaking of his equipment package. Right? This is not like, wow, I wonder if this guy ever saw a doctor when he was a young baby. This had nothing to do with equipment. This was covenant.
Yeah.
So what David is saying is, I know who I am. Who does this guy think he is? So being in covenant, you understand circumcision was the sign of covenant and being in relationship with God. And he speaks in verse 37 of our verses here that we're breaking down is Jehovah, the Lord, is actually Jehovah, and Jehovah is the covenant-keeping God. And so back when God revealed himself as Jehovah in Exodus 3, I think it is when he revealed himself, I am, that's Jehovah, to Moses, that was in the context of my people are in Egypt and they're having problems, but they're my people. That means something. God didn't say everybody in the whole world is suffering. That's not what God said, although God cares about everybody. He said, my people are groaning for reason of bondage. Well, that's different. They're circumcised people. That means they belong to me. So David understood this. It's like, this guy doesn't belong in the covenant. We do. So there's a God, a living God. Number two, I know who I am. This is not, he was not saying, I am so great, I am so bad that I'm going to be able to take this guy on. He says, I know who I am. If you know who you are, then you're going to believe God is going to help you. Third thing is knowing what God has done. And that was also important. Verse 36 and 37, you have this statement, he delivered me out of the hand of the lion and the bear. So, knowing what God has done can be personal. In this case, David is referring back to his own history. God helped me with the lion, God helped me with the bear. Or it can be transferable. Is you did this for others and you don't play favorites. Right? Is that this is the Acts 10. I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. That means he doesn't love someone else more than you. So that's why when you read the Bible, the question is not what did he do for David or Elijah. The point is, if he did it for them, he'll do it for you. Because God says, I haven't changed, and I don't play favorites. So that means, if you have a track record or history, you can go back, God help me here, God help me there. So logic says He'll help me in this situation. But it's also God helped somebody else, so therefore He will help me. And that's I've told a thousand times the story of the first time I ever saw a powerful miracle is the guy whose leg had been smashed in a motorcycle accident. They cut out 2 inches of bone, and I'm praying for his short leg. That means bone has to be created. And I prayed twice, and nothing happened. And I had told the church, watch this, because God's going to help us. And so now I'm sweating, and I prayed, and I'm quoting exactly my prayer, is God, it works for Harry Hills, and you don't love Harry more than me. In the name of Jesus, come out. That is exactly what I prayed. I'm not changing that at all. And that leg, God apparently liked that prayer. And that popped out. And not only that, is from that time I saw miracles. So that was a foundational issue. Is that just makes sense to me. I can go to somebody in the Bible and say, you did it for them, you'll do it for me. Because we're both in covenant, right? Or I can say, somebody else I know in covenant, you help them, so you'll help me. Because you don't love them. I don't. And that was the logic of my prayer. Is I knew Harry. He wasn't some super man. He was a guy with deep insecurities and flaws. So, God, you'll help me. Right? And he did. So, you have to have the confidence that God supplies the supernatural power to get the job done. Or get his will done, rather. Luke 9, 1 and 2.
Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to cure the sick.
Okay, so any situation you're going to face, when we send a man out, I know full well that they're going to face financial problems, they're going to face building problems, they're going to face people problems, they're going to face... There's going to be a whole range of things that they have no idea when they're standing behind the pulpit saying, man, it's been great to be here, we're off, we're so excited. They have no clue all they're going to face. But that's okay, because whatever they face, Jesus says, I give you power and authority over all. No, it doesn't matter. I give the power. Okay, so now then, let's bring it down to you here. Breakthrough men. A mark of men who are used by God is their being a breakthrough dimension in them. And that's what caught my eye about this scripture, and I've been pondering this in different ways over the last few weeks. So, think back to what I said in the introduction. This story is, we could say, during David's discipleship. There's something here that is going to propel him to being king. So we're not looking at this as, hey, isn't that cool he killed a giant? No. Think about it. How do you enter your destiny? So there's something in this story that is very important, and I am summing it up by saying David had a breakthrough dimension. Faced a giant and was able to get a breakthrough over that giant. Now, his breakthroughs apparently began, I'm not going into deep detail here, but, hidden breakthroughs with the bear and the lion. But now he's going to face a giant when others are not willing. And this is something all men who are used, they have to have a breakthrough dimension. It's not just true of David. Jonathan, let's just go see what God will do. And they go and fight the Philistines and win a battle. So there, he had a breakthrough dimension, right? David's mighty men that you read in 2 Samuel 23 or 1 Chronicles 11, it lists his mighty men and the list of their exploits, and all of them were, they got a breakthrough. There's a guy, it's like he went and fought a lion in a pit in a snowy day. Another guy fought an Egyptian. Another guy, he fought the Philistines in a bean field. So all of these were guys who faced problems that they didn't have the answer for, and yet they got a breakthrough. That's why they're mighty men. That's the point that I'm making. Did I give out Luke 10:17?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us in your name.
Okay, so here are the 70. Again, these are disciples. This is discipleship training. So discipleship training is, you know, you need to learn some things. You got to know your Bible. You got to have some people skills. You got to have... But do not miss this point, is the 70 came back and they said, Jesus, devils, listen to us. That is a profound part of discipleship, is there's something in us, we can face demons and overcome them. So, now that can be literally demon possession, you know, that can be casting out a demon, sure, that can be... But overall, that's a problem. Some of you have a demon for a boss, right? I'm not going to say anything about any jokes about your wives there, nothing at all. But you're going to face you're going to face various kinds of things, and there has to be something in you that you can come back to Jesus, or you can come back to your pastor and say, I don't mean that you. There's a list, you know, daily. But I mean, there needs to be something where you can say, demons are subject to us. I got a breakthrough. That's the point of what they're saying. I faced something that was bigger than me, and I won. That is how you become a man of God. So, let's make two applications out of this story now about breakthroughs. Number one, breakthroughs are personal. Every one of you have areas that you need a breakthrough in right now. Every one of you, I know that. For some of you, that's in your marriage, some of you, that's in your finances, some of you, that's fruitfulness, some of you, that's getting converted, locked in to change, you know, on your job, whatever it might be. You have a personal need. David was a shepherd, so the lion and the bear were very personal to him. This is threatening my job. I have to win. Is threatening my finances. I have to win. So, you have a personal problem, something that's been frustrating you that you have been thinking, how the heck do you get this to change? Right? That's so. In discipleship, every man has to make up his own mind. Is God a living God or not? Are you a covenant man or not? Right? Has God done this in the past or not? And you have to make that up. The profound thing is David made up his mind all by himself. That's why I can tell you, I can teach you, here's three things to defeating a giant. That doesn't help you defeat a giant if you don't make it personal. I was saved for years. Had already been a pastor for some time when I got my first miracle. Because I finally one day said, this is for me. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today. That means it still works. And that was personal. And that's the part where the Bible says you believe in your heart, not your head. I don't think there's any of, if I went around the table, do you believe in miracles? I don't think there's anybody who'd go, absolutely not. John MacArthur is my hero. You know, I don't think so. I think you all would agree in theory. But we all have the buts in life, don't we? Yeah, oh yeah, Pastor, God can do miracles, but in this situation, man, this is tough. So it's personal. All right. The second thing, and this is actually what really caught my eye, is think about this thought. I want you to catch this. Breakthroughs are transferable. I said they're transferable to other from person to person. That was how I applied that before. But breakthroughs are transferable. In other words, David has never fought a giant before. But he makes the correct application. But I did fight a lion. I fought a bear. And both of those, God helped me. So he is transferring this, and that's very important. To God, a miracle is a miracle. Right? If it's supernatural, right? If it's beyond you, what does it matter to God if it's creating 2 inches of bone or whether it's causing your coworker, who's a devil, to get saved? or your boss to give you favorable hours, or money to help you with your bills or your debt. Right? It's not like God has, I don't know how to get this across to you, but it's not like weightlifting. Is that you say to God, God, I need some help, my boss, and God gets the 2-pound dumbbell and goes, oh man, that's no sweat. Woohoo! Look at this. Woo! I gave him a miracle. That was easy. And then you say, and I need some help in my marriage, and God is straining, going, oh man, this is the hard one. It's all supernatural. It's all beyond you. So, you know, God is not, he's not breaking a sweat over a different type of problem. So David correctly, God help me here, he helped me here. So that means that God can help me there. That means if you can get a breakthrough in one area, just one, that means you could get a breakthrough in any area. What started me thinking about this was that I've been telling him during offering times and different things. I've been talking about, you know, Brandon's been getting people healed and I got people saved and I met this guy and that was supernatural and, you know, that's all great. Well, then it came time for a building and he's looking at building and I saw this one and they want, you know, $4,600 a month. That's absolutely not. That's insanity. You don't even need to look at that. But then I challenged him. I said, you're getting these powerful miracles of healing. You're meeting people in supernatural ways that are helping you. If God helped you there, surely God can lead you. Right? He was led to the exact lady who's going to help him and give him a building for a month for $200. And he met this person who's exactly, and I just happened to move here. And if God can do that, then surely he can help you find the right person to help at a building. And so Brandon said, I challenged him, right? He was excited. I got a building. It's $4,600. No. I'm not going to pay almost $5,000 for a building. Absolutely not. That's insane. So I challenged him, and he went away and thought, and he and Dre prayed. And a guy called that day and said, hey, are you looking for a building? I know this guy, and he's nice. You should talk to him. Called the guy, that's the guy, you know, my daddy was a Baptist preacher, I'm going to help you, blah, blah. So in 2 days, from the time of talking to the guy on the phone, 2 days later, he's got the keys, he's painting. So that's my point, is that miracles are transferable. So you got the blind lady healed. So now all of a sudden, God's going to break a sweat over a building? Right? And that's true in any area. And I was at, you got a breakthrough. In this case, I wasn't trying to transfer from me to him. God helped you here, so logic says he'll help you there, right? That's true for you. If there's some area of your life that you can say, demons are subject in your name, Jesus, then you can transfer that in finances and fruitfulness and people changing, people surrendering, getting buildings, overcoming opposition, it's transferable. So, that is actually what a pastor looks for. If I'm looking at disciples, I would really like to see some area of your life. And we have all the, you know, discipleship is not cookie cutter. Not every guy is exactly the same. We have different personalities, but there needs to be something in you that is a breakthrough dimension. Remember, our story is foundational. Years later, when David becomes king, it's still going to be and the giant, right? For the rest of his life, it's the giant. In the temple, they keep the big sword of the. It's the giant. Because that was transferable through the rest of his life and ministry. And there needs to be something about you. So that is why he became king ultimately, is there has to be a breakthrough dimension. So, there's not any of you that you're going to be able to say, Pastor, in every area of my life, every demon is defeated. If you believe that, look in the mirror, I got another demon for you. You got to work on. It's not necessary, and it's not. I'm being realistic. You're not going to have every single I have got, man, in marriage, finances, fruitful, every single area of my life is perfect. It's not going to be. Most of us, it's like, God help me here, and I'm really struggling here. The key is, are you going to make the correct application? But if you have all areas of your life are a mess, and God's not helping you anywhere, it is your job. Remember, miracles are personal. You got to get a hold of God. You have to then apply and get a breakthrough in another area. Okay, let's open for questions. Anything that brings up?
I've heard people use reasoning before, like God will bring a difficult situation on me in order to bless me, ruin me now or something, or you know, I'm sick because God wants to teach me this, or is it,
yeah, I don't think it's that God brings. I, you're getting into deep areas of the permissive will of God rather than the. I can't think of the theological, the planning will of God. In other words, so God is not planning that you get sick, but neither is He preventing in every. That's the way to understand it.
All right, so it's not really valid to say, oh, God's bringing this situation on me.
Again, nowhere in the Bible can you say that God, sickness, no, absolutely not. But you do see by the plan of God is that, the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. Good and bad things happen to good, to good and bad people. Everybody experiences. So, in one sense, all of you are going to face financial challenges, relational difficulties, physical conditions, fruitfulness frustrations. Everybody's going to face it. So, the key is that God doesn't prevent. Some people think that being a Christian means God prevents and shields. Nope, demon, you're not going to ever touch them. Is that it is the permissive will of God. He allows, but for the intention that. So the whole simple way of understanding is someone who says that believes that in some way, if you are praying to God to change that, that God will be saying no. Do you understand? Does that make it a little clearer? So in other words, the person, if you take that to an extreme, so, sickness he brought so that, and you can learn things through sickness and you can learn how to overcome. But the person who believes that thinks that when that happens to you, you can pray and say, God, help me in this. And God's in heaven going, no, I'm teaching you stuff. And if you believe that, then you're doomed in life because you will always be wondering, does God not want to help me? That's not a workable way that I can tell you practically. I deal with people who wrestling in life. And so the way we had a discussion about this in breakfast the other day is that the way to look at life is battle. So you will not find, go back to the story of Jesus in the boat in the storm. He didn't prevent them from getting in the storm. But then when they cried out, God brought a challenge, He was able to change that. Right? What Jesus didn't say is, no, this storm is for your lessons and for the building of your character. Stay with the storm, boys. Keep bailing. That would be the difference. So, you're in deep theological waters there. But that's the idea. Is God, does He ever say no just to teach you a lesson as far as practical help? David.
Have you ever had it happen when God helps you in one area and then you move on to another area that you're working on, and then that original area pops back up again?
Sure.
Like kind of like whack-a-mole, you go to another one.
Wait a minute. You just need more arms. Yeah. You got three kids. Give them a paddle. Help them all. Whack them all with you. Sure. That's the whole life. Life is not in clean, straight lines. Right? It's not like, and when you learn this, it's done and finished. And if the devil ever bothers you again, say, I'm sorry, that's against the rules. You know, we already dealt with that problem. Sure. And that's the common thing. And Pastor, I'm going to do a great work for God. And I lost my job and the transmission fell out of my car. You know, it's messy and complicated. Yeah. So think of it from David's standpoint of I'm anointed to be king. Cool. And now a giant shows up. Right? That's kind of how life works. So, but back to your question, yes, I've seen most things in life. So yes, it is possible that the devil tries to come back. When the demons have been cast out of the house, finding it swept and garnered, they try to come back, right? So the devil's strategy is to come back. So the point is whether you give in to that again. And often a big part of that is attitude. A lot of people, at that point, they get ticked at God. I'm doing right. Why do I have to deal with this stupid problem that I already dealt with? So they make wrong conclusions. Somebody else? Other questions, Anthony?
Yeah. I've heard pastors say faith is contagious. You know, when one disciple has faith, it can get on other disciples.
Mm-hmm.
Can this also be applied the same way, where when one disciple has breakthrough, if applied correctly to the other disciples, they could experience it too?
Yes, in encouragement. But miracle breakthroughs are personal, though. So, absolutely. You know, I mean, the key is which is going to be easier for you as a disciple. When your friend is telling you God's going to help us and God help me, or when he's telling you we're all doomed, you know. So that's a practical. So yeah, I mean, it encourages. You have people around that encourage you and lift you up. But their breakthrough dimension doesn't necessarily give you a breakthrough dimension. You can, you know, and that's kind of the thing, is that there are disciples you... In discipleship, you kind of ride along in the wake of what's going on in the church. But there needs to be something personal. I faced this. I contended. I prayed. I believed whatever version it is. And I saw a breakthrough there. So not just I belong to a church where things were happening. Because the idea is now you're on your own, right? So there's no one to ride in their wake anymore. Somebody else. Go ahead, Daniel.
One of the things you've said for many years is that God is for you. He wants you to succeed more than you want to succeed. So that was a real revelation to me. You know, God's for us, wants to help us. And so a couple of years ago, I saw this firsthand. I came home from work. I was feeling sorry for myself. Wasn't feeling good during revival. And I was looking for any excuse to just stay home, go to sleep, get a good night's rest. I know nobody else here has ever felt that way, but I did that night. So I come home, and my wife's like, well, Caleb, he broke in at like warts all over his hand. And I'm like, okay, I'll stay home with him. Poor guy, he's humiliated. We don't want him to go to church. I'll take care of him. I'll take the hit. Like, why don't you just pray for him? I'm like, you know, we just need to put medicine on him. You know, I'm secretly going to go to bed myself. And so let's just pray. I'm fine. So I go over there, put my hand on him. I'm like, in the name of Jesus, rebuke witchcraft, break every curse right now. You know, we prayed. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to take a shower. So I go take a shower, come back out. My wife's like, come look at his hand. Look at his hand, they were almost all gone. Wow. He could have hit me with a 2x. What? So I'm like, well, I guess we'll go to church then. We get dressed, we go to church, and then I call and they were gone by the next morning. Wow. I was blown away, and I just felt God speak to my spirit and say, you know, I want to do miracles.
Yeah.
I want to do this.
Yeah.
I was just blown away that God would you take this faithless, self-pitious prayer and do a miracle.
My mind. Yep. That's a merciful God.
Wow.
And you got to have that foundational. God likes you. And that's you gotta have that in your spirit. Very good. Anybody else? Something else you want to ask? Okay, so then the idea is that you apply this to your own situation, whatever that might be.